All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Acts, chapter 4, for the message this morning. Acts, chapter 4. And I want to read just one verse, and that is the 12th verse, which is, I'm sure, a familiar verse to everyone. I was I typed in my search thing how many Acts chapter 4 verse 12 and how many sermons I have preached from Acts 4:12 in the last, I don't know how many years it goes back, but there were five different sermons that I have preached from Acts chapter 4 verse 12. And this is, I mean, it's just one of those verses that, that you're just drawn to, because of the clarity of which, you find it. It's just so clear. Let's read it. All right. You follow along. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we, what's the next word? Must be saved. Now, that's pretty clear, don't you think? I think it is. So I want to use that as a launching pad this morning, because according to this verse, there is no other way other than through the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ has provided for us on the cross when he was here 2,000 years ago. There is no other way to be saved other than through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to think about this question this morning. What is salvation in the Bible? What is salvation in the Bible? I have told you several times through the years that if you were to go down to the mall and stop 10 people and ask them, how does someone get to heaven? You'd probably get at least 8, maybe 9, maybe 10 answers. Different, all different. Because the devil would not be the devil if he didn't muddy the water at the source, right? And so he knows how to muddy the water and to get men away from what the Bible says about the matter of salvation. So I want us to think about that. What is salvation in the Bible? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for the opportunity we have to open your eternal word. And Father, I pray you'll bless us this morning. I pray that you will help me as I speak. I pray you'll help our folks as they listen. And Father, bless all involved, and may the word of God make a difference in our hearts today. For that person who may be confused about what salvation is, I pray that you'll help me to explain the matter so clearly that even the small child could understand what's being said. And so, Father, speak to our hearts and bless us now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. What is salvation in the Bible? Well, let's think about that word for a moment, salvation. That word is translated several different ways throughout the New Testament. Sometimes the word is translated deliverance. All right, deliverance. And that's what salvation is. It is a deliverance from sin and its awful effects. It is a deliverance from hell. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I don't have to go to hell for all eternity to pay for my sin. All right? I've been delivered. It's called God's salvation. Sometimes the word has is translated preservation. Preservation. Now, my my family growing up, they used to can stuff. My grandfather would always have a big garden, and everything that we took out of that garden, the adults would have canning days, and they would I can still see four of those great big pots where you put the jars down in to can with four of them on the burner, going at it, and they would set them all aside, and then you'd hear that popping sound where the lid seals and all that, and everybody would say, oh, there goes another one, oh, there goes another one, and you hear that popping sound, and my aunt used to make what she called blackberry preserves. Oh, those were so good. Now, what do you do? Well, if you just take blackberries and, smash them up and then put them in the refrigerator, if you don't eat those within a day or two, you're going to go in there and find penicillin growing in your refrigerator, right? Yes, that's true. But if you go through the process to preserve that, then in the wintertime, when they make them big old cat head biscuits, and get that farm churned butter and put it on those hot biscuits, and then take that blackberry preserves and put it on top of that. Now that's eating, all right? That is good eating. And you don't have to worry about there being, penicillin on your blackberries. They've been preserved, okay? And so sometimes the word means preserved. So I'm glad that my eternal soul has been saved. It's been, I have salvation. I have been preserved by the Lord so I can go to heaven for all eternity. I'm just so thankful for my salvation, and I hope you are thankful for yours as well. And then there is, sometimes it's translated rescue. Rescue. All right, we've been rescued by the Lord. Okay, Jesus has rescued us from hell. That's our salvation. But for me, I think the word which best explains salvation is simply the word salvaging. I've been salvaged. If you have some old pieces of metal and you want to take them, you don't want to just throw them away. You might be able to get something from them. So you take them to the salvage yard, okay? And you cash them in. The guy will say, well, copper's going for this and so on and so forth. And they'll give you a dollar figure for however much you have. And so you are salvaging that metal. They're going to take it and sell it themselves. And then it's going to be made into something else. It's going to be melted down and reused. So it's just a continual thing. You're salvaging the metal. Now, where we should, all of us, be cast into the pits of hell for our sin and for violation of God's law, God, in his mercy, salvages us. He salvages us. And, of course, you can use the long list of synonyms I just gave you and use any word in there you want. The whole idea is God delivers us from the wages of sin. He preserves for us an eternal home in heaven. He rescues us from sin and eternal death in hell. And if you look at the very last word in verse 12, all of this simply is summed up in a New Testament word as a person being saved. saved. Look, last word of the verse. Look at it. Whereby we must be what? Saved. That's Bible salvation, folks. That's Bible salvation. Now, there was a time, not too many years ago, when just about every church in America believed in the matter of salvation and of being saved. Years ago, just about every preacher delivered a message and then gave an invitation and invited people to come to pray to trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior. But you don't hear much about that today. I mean, that's considered too intrusive in this woke world in which we live today. And it makes people feel uncomfortable. I have gotten emails from folks who have visited here on a Sunday, and they've said in their email that the way I worded things, it made them feel uncomfortable. Well, I don't know how to word things any other way. All right, I just don't understand our world today. I want to be under conviction, don't you? I do. I want the Holy Spirit to speak to my heart when I come to church. I just think that's the way it ought to be. But this one lady. She said that she was here on a Sunday, and she gave the Sunday she was here, and she said that my message was too intrusive, and I made her feel uncomfortable. So, you know, we have come up with a whole bushel basket full of reasons why you cannot give an invitation in this world we live in today. Well, I disagree with that, and so we're going to continue to give an invitation, and if God's word is too intrusive in your heart, then you're just going to have to deal with the Lord about that. So deliverance, rescuing, preserving, salvaging, the question then becomes, salvaged from what? Delivered from what? Rescued from what? Well, you know your Bible. And you know that your Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So what we are salvaged from is the wages of sin. You see, what you and I get paid for sinning, is death. Death, eternal separation from God. When you run the word death all the way through the Bible, you end up over in Revelation 20 and verse 15 and following. And what you read is that the wages of sin is death or hell. The wages of sin is hell. Now, I don't want to pay those wages. Do you? No, sir. So that's why the Lord Jesus came. And all of us owe those wages to God. We all owe those wages because all of us are sinners. The Bible says in Romans 3:10 that there is none righteous, no, not one. None. Nobody is righteous before God unless you're born again. But as a sinner, we are unrighteous as we stand before God. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So all of us, we are sinners, and all of us need salvage from the wages of sin simply because all of us are sinners. You were born that way. You were born a sinner. It is the nature of a person to sin. And thus we receive the wages of sin upon us. Now, we all know that some folks are bigger sinners than others, but nonetheless, we're all sinners. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know my grandmother. No, but I do know the Bible. And I'm sure your grandmother is a fine person, but she's still a sinner. She may not be as big of a sinner as somebody else, but nonetheless, she's still a sinner. You see, folks, it's not the fruit on a tree that makes the tree an apple tree. It's not the apples on the tree. What makes it an apple tree is its root. Its root. And at the root of all men, you're going to find a sinful heart. That's just what we are. So what are these wages? Well, the wages of sin is death. Sin brings death. It brings it to everyone. It brings it to all things. I mean, sin brings death. The second half of Romans 6:23 says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And folks, listen to me. It is that gift that is salvation. That's the gift that Paul is talking about. The gift of God is eternal life. And it is that gift of God that is salvation. This is the wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. God has prepared a deliverance from sin through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he went to the cross, and he who knew no sin became sin for us. What's that mean? That means that God, when Jesus was hanging on Calvary's cross, he was not a sinner. You say, but Pastor, the Bible says he died on the cross. How could he die if he was not a sinner? Well, it's simple. He died because he willingly went to that cross. And he allowed the Father to take your sin debt, Ron, and your sin debt, Andrew, and your sin debt all the way from top to bottom. God took all of our sin and placed them on his Son, the Lord Jesus, and Jesus paid our penalty. And Paul says, hey, folks, that's a gift. That's a gift. I've had folks say to me through the years, well, what do I have to do to get it? What do you mean, what do you have to do? That's works. You don't have to do anything. The work has already been done. Jesus did the work. All you and I have to do is believe it, accept it. All right? Just come to the Lord and receive it. Now, notice through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That, and I say that because we're told in our text verse that Jesus is indeed the only one who can salvage, deliver, rescue, provide us with an eternal salvation. It is only through the Lord Jesus. It's not through a church. Amen. It's not through a church. No church ever died for you. The wages of sin is what? No church died for you. The wages of sin is death, not baptism. Not baptism. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. It is not church membership. I've had folks say, well, you know, I'm a member of such, I'm a charter member. Well, la-ti-da. Am I supposed to be impressed by that? That just means you were a little baby when the church was established. That's all that means. Well, I was a charter member. How old were you? 6 months. Okay. So you remember it well, do you? You know what I mean? Folks, listen, it's not what we do. It's what Jesus has done. That's our salvation. All right, now, with that foundation, listen carefully. I want to show you how this salvation works. You know, God's salvation covers every area of our lives. It really does. Now think with me for a moment. You and I live right here, now, today, at this very moment, at 11:30 and a half. We live now in the present. Do you agree with that? We live in the present. But you know what's interesting? Every one of us has, past tense, has a past. Now, we don't live in the past. If you do live in the past, that's sad. All right? I had a fellow in my church at Dixie, and he was always talking about, I remember back in 1963, we had a revival meeting. This church was full. Okay. All right. What about today? What about today? I don't want to hear what happened 35, 40 years ago. I want to hear what's happening now. And he just constantly lived in the past. And I told myself one of these days when he does that to me, I felt like he was doing it to kind of, you know, we're not doing as good today as we used to do. You know, that's how I kind of took it. And he would just kind of stick that knife, you know, right in the back and then twist it a little bit, you know. That's how I felt. And so I told myself one of these days I'm going to respond. One of these days I'm going to respond. Well, he did it. I knew he would, and he did. And I just turned and looked at him, and I said, Tom, listen, I don't care what happened in 1949. I wasn't even here yet. And he said, I do that a lot, don't I? And I said, yeah, you do. You do it all the time. You're living in the past. Let's don't live in the past. We live in the future. But wait a minute, you have a past. But listen, there was a time when the past was the present. You with me? In my past, as a matter of fact, October 25th, I looked it up. You know where you got the little calendar on your phone? Well, I just kept flipping. 100 times. Oh, 1954, there it is. October 25th, that's when I got saved. I finally looked it up. October the 25th, 1970. I looked it up. And so, in my past, I can stand here in the present, and I can look back to the past in my life, and I can tell you unapologetically that I was saved on October the 25th, 1970. Now, can you take me back and tell me when you were saved? You may not know the exact time. You may not know the exact date. But surely you know the place. Do you know where you were? Do you know where you were when you trusted the Lord? All right, so everybody has a past. And somewhere in your past, you need to know that you trusted Christ as your Savior. All right, now, here it is. Now, look at your Bible. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I've had folks say, I will get saved one of these days. You're going the wrong direction. You're going the wrong direction. You don't live out here either. Okay? You don't live in the future either. Where do you live? You live right here in the present. But what you can do is look back in the past to the time where you got saved. Now, here's what happened to you on that day. The day that you received Christ as your Savior, God justified you. You were justified. Now, think of justification this way. God declared you righteous. The moment you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, God declared you righteous. God said, I'm going to justify you because of your faith. Now, you weren't there when Jesus died on the cross. You weren't there to witness with your own eyes what Jesus did for you on the cross. You weren't there. But by faith, you read about it in the Bible, and you read that God sent his Son, and Jesus did indeed die for your sin. And so here in the past somewhere, when you prayed and asked the Lord Jesus to be your Savior, God at that very moment justified you. God looked at you from that point on just as if you had never sinned one time. Covered by the blood. Washed in the blood, if you will. I mean, here's the amazing thing about this matter of justification. The Bible, the Apostle Paul, James, John, Luke, all of them go into great detail to give us angle after angle after angle, direction after direction, ways to describe this whole matter of being saved. But when you trust the Lord as your Savior back there, God says, justified. Now, what does that justification do? Here's what it does. It salvages you. It saves you. It rescues you. It delivers you from the penalty of sin. All right, so the wages of sin is what? That's its penalty. So the moment you trust Christ, you are justified. And what God delivers you from in that justification is the penalty of sin. That's awesome, isn't it? That is just absolutely awesome. Now, you know what that means? That means that you, as a repentant sinner, you will never have to worry about going to hell. You've been delivered. You are justified just as if you had never sinned. That's pretty cool. I mean, that is just amazing. Now, of course, that's a huge stumbling block. You all know that there are basically two schools of thought on this matter of salvation. One is called Arminianism. And that Arminianism is where you sin, you lose your salvation. Not in the Bible. It's just not there. It's just not there. I've had folks say, well, what if I sin? Not what, when? It's not what, it's when. And so here's what they do. They say, if you sin, then you've lost your salvation. But if I sin, that's a mistake and I'm okay. All right, show me Bible for that. Well, I know it's in there somewhere. No, it's not. You're making stuff up. All right, you're basically making stuff up. It's not in the Bible. So I'm delivered from the penalty of sin. So there is that Arminian idea that you can get saved, but then you lose it and you got to get saved all over again. No. No. When you get saved, it is eternal life that you are given. You say, well, what if I sin? Not what if, when you sin, then God takes his spiritual paddle out as your heavenly Father, and he says, get in line. If you don't listen, then he takes a bigger paddle out and he get in line. That's that conviction that you feel when you walk in. It's that conviction when you know that you're not living for the Lord and you blame it on me. It's my preaching that makes you feel that way. No. I can't do that. I wish I could do that. I get you. Especially you. Oh, yeah. I can't do that. You are giving me a whole lot more credit than you should. I can't do that. But I'm in contact all week long with somebody who can do that. And I just beg him, Lord, eat them up when they come. Let them have it. Lord, just make them so uncomfortable. Amen. Why? We need to live for the Lord. That's why. But you're justified. Justified. Thank God for justification. So our salvation, our faith in the Lord, our deliverance, our salvaging is through the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let me show you this in the scripture, all right? Let me show you this in the scripture. Take your Bible and go back to Luke 7. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. All right, let's begin reading, please, in verse 41. All right, look at your Bible here. Everybody got it? Hold on, let me calm down a little bit here. All right, let's begin, please, in verse 41. It says, "And there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "Well, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet." In other words, you did not wash the dust off my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears. That's tears of repentance. With tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. All right, you've seen the Middle East. You've seen kiss on one cheek, kiss on the other cheek. They've been doing that forever. All right, and that's what he's making a reference to. Paul said, when you see one another, greet one another with a holy kiss. If it's all right with you, I'll take a holy handshake, all right? I don't trust some people, I'll tell you what. But thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. But this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment, with oil. Wherefore, I say unto thee, watch this now, thy sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loveth much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? All right, now watch. This is where I was reading to get to. Look at verse 50. And he said to the woman, thy what? faith hath what?
Saved
thee. Thy faith hath saved thee. You see, folks, the way to appropriate this justification is to do so by faith. We weren't there to see Jesus die. We were not there to watch on the third day as the stone was rolled away and our wonderful Savior came out of that tomb. We weren't there. But what we can do is read about it in God's preserved word. And we can read why he did it. He did it for our salvaging, for our deliverance, for our rescue. All right, now, one more little point here. Let me have you turn to the book of Ephesians for just a moment and look at another real important verse on the matter of salvation. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians 2. All right, look please at verse 8 and verse 9. Verse 8 says, "For by grace," that's God's grace, "are ye saved through faith." That's our faith. All right, so God's part is grace, our part is faith. Now, why is it God's grace? Because we don't deserve it, that's why. We don't deserve it. There's not a person in this room that deserves to be saved. Not a one. You say, well, then why does God save us? Grace. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it to you. That's what it is. It's grace. Unmerited favor. For by grace are you saved through faith. Watch. And not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you were saved after October the 25th, 1970, raise your hand. You were saved after. Oh, look at this. Well, I was saved before you. Go back to sleep. See the point, folks? Not of works, lest any man should boast. I mean, there were a slew of you that raised your hand. That just shows you how old I am, doesn't it? That's depressing. But the point is, folks, it's not of works. It's by grace through faith. By grace through faith. So when we accept God's gift of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, he delivers me from the penalty of sin. His grace rescues me. His grace salvages me from hell. And Paul calls this deliverance justification. Justification. Just as if I had never sinned. You say, well, Pastor, where's our sin go? I don't care. Doesn't bother me a bit where it goes. I don't care. I just know that I'm forgiven. That it's gone. It's gone. And so we can't save ourselves. Now, go back to our text verse. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So you got to trust Christ by faith as your Savior. Now, let me show you one more thing about this whole thing. All right? I want to show you that Jesus died for you. All right? Now, what do we know? What do we know about hell? What do we know about it? Well, here's one thing we know. We know from Luke 16, the story of, it's not a story, it's a truth. It's a truism. But we have Luke 16, which is the rich man and who? Lazarus. All right, Lazarus died. He went to paradise. He went to Abraham's bosom. And then the rich man died, and where'd he go? He went the other direction. He went to hell. Now, the rich man speaks. Now, we couldn't hear him. None of us, nobody on earth heard him, but Jesus heard him. Jesus knew what he said. And he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. Now, if you dip your finger in water, what are you going to get? One, two drops max, right? Let him dip it. In other words, he wasn't asking for much. You say, well, why didn't he ask for the whole glass? It's like a kid whose mother says, don't eat that cookie. You're going to spoil your dinner. And no kid says, well, can I have half a cookie? No. A quarter? No. Can I have just break off a little piece? No. Can I have a crumb? No. But they keep on, don't they? He knew he couldn't have a drink. He's in hell paying the wages he owes for sin. And what did he say? He said, for I am tormented in this flame. Wow. Tormented. What do you want? Just a drop of water. Folks, you remember when our Savior was hanging on the cross? And the Bible says that he cried out, I thirst. I'm telling you, folks, he suffered hell. He suffered our wages when he was on that cross. That is not there by accident. That is put there to show you and me that our wonderful Savior did indeed pay our wages. He paid them. You remember the Lord Jesus saying one time that hell was a place of outer darkness? Huh? And do you not remember that in Matthew 27, verse 45, we are told that from noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that darkness fell upon the earth. Darkness. While Jesus hung on the cross, darkness fell upon the earth. Coincidence? I don't think so. No, I think that's God showing what. And sin is always referred to in the Bible as dark. Always. It's always darkness. And so Jesus was on the cross and darkness fell, showing us that he paid our sin debt. He suffered what folks in hell have to suffer, a place of outer darkness. Do you remember also that, of course, we know that hell is a place where God is not. I mean, that's what's going to make hell, hell. The fact that the presence of God is nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. No God. No God. Wow. Oh, the fire is horrible. The suffering will be unbearable. The smells and the smoke will be unfathomable. But what is going to make hell, hell, is the absence of the presence of God. And folks, let me remind you in Matthew 27 and verse 26, while our Savior was hanging between heaven and earth on that cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm telling you, folks, the Lord Jesus suffered hell when he was on that cross. He was paying our wages. And that's how God salvages us, folks. Oh, hell will be hell because God is not there. God is not there. God saves us through the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, paying our sin debt. And the moment that you trust him, you are justified, declared just by God, just as if you had never sinned even one time. Your sins never to be remembered against you no more. Cast as far as the east is from the west, cast to the depths of the sea. When James Cameron took that submarine down to the Mariana Trench, I watched that entire video hoping that he would say, man, I found something down here. We don't know what it is. And take pictures of it, and it just said, sin. All our sins down at the bottom of the sea. But he didn't see it. The idea is, they're gone. They're gone. Now let me ask you, have you been justified? Have you been justified? Let's bow our heads, please. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we have a Bible that explains salvation to us. It's not complicated. Men have made it complicated, but it's so simple. It's so simple. And Father, we know that Jesus paid it all. He paid the entire price. He suffered on that cross so we would not have to suffer eternity in hell paying the wages for sin. He paid our wages. And Heavenly Father, I pray you'll touch our hearts this morning. If there is even one person in this room or listening online who is not 100% sure they're saved, I pray that today will be the day of their salvation. So, Father, bless your word. Touch our hearts with it, we ask, in Jesus' name. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed, please. I want you to let God speak to your heart, dear friend. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's all by grace, God's grace, our faith. Now, do you know the Lord as your Savior? Have you been justified? And if you have not trusted the Lord as your Savior, if you cannot look back in your past and say, right here is where I was saved. Maybe it was sitting on the side of your bed or kneeling by your bed, mom or dad took the Bible and showed you how to be saved. Maybe it was in church. Maybe it was in junior church or in the youth group or who knows. But there should be a time, a place where you can look back and say, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. My faith is in the Lord. So we're going to stand and sing in just a moment. And as we stand and sing, if you're not sure about your justification, I want to invite you to come.